Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show. This is Ted Brower, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Austin will be with me in a moment. And so I just want to get started today because Austin had gotten tied up on a line at the office. So, guys, there's so much news to cover today. I want to go ahead and get right into this. This is from Zero Hedge. And it says, nuclear war is on the horizon. This is not talk. This is action. And it's been taken. Instead of statesmen and diplomats, we now have self-interested, politically motivated belligerents backing Russia and other nations in the corners and pushing them towards war. When the Rothschild Bank has to try to cover itself with an economic collapse, what ends up happening is they've got to destroy information. They've got to find a way to make themselves not guilty in the court of law, and they've got to find a way to massively obfuscate. This is what the Rothschilds have always done. They did this with the Napoleonic Wars. They did this with the War of 1812. They did this with the Civil War in our country. They did this with World War I. They did this with World War II. It's always motivated. That's why Smedley Butler, General Smedley Butler, the most decorated war hero of World War I, wrote a book, and you can get it for free online, and he says, war is a racket. Plus, he was also filmed doing an entire speech on this, and you can pull it up online for free, and you can actually listen to what Smedley Butler said. He's the same general that Prescott Bush went to in 1933 to stage a coup against the United States of America to install a fascist dictatorship basically like Nazi Germany, and was basically reported to the U.S. Congress by Smedley Butler, and it was stopped. This is what's going on in America today still, and that's when it got started, and actually when it got started was in 1913 when the Federal Reserve Act occurred, and they took control of the United States currency, and then in 1933 through the Exchange Stability Fund, they took control of the Treasury. Austin, you with us yet?
Yes, I am. Sorry, I'm here, bud. Sorry, we were tied up on the phone, so I got through them now.
That's good. Now, but I want to read you this right out of Zero Hedge. This is from Tyler Durden, which, of course, is a pseudonym. As the U.S. elections draw near, the amount of Belarus rhetoric from politicians and key military commanders has been increasing. The main focus of the rhetoric has been directed towards Russia and is also blathered in the direction of China, North Korea, and Iran when it suits the U.S. political interests. The problem is all of this is not just talk. Action has been taken, especially regarding Russia and the Syrian theater of operations. Within the past several weeks, the U.S. has bombed Syrian troops, killing 62 outside of Deir ez-Zor in airstrikes, and then admitting to doing so mistakenly. The Russians responded by firing up a U.N. coalition convoy almost immediately thereafter. The Russian naval artillery then took out a command post with approximately 30 coalition officers, some of them being Americans. The U.S. then made itself responsible indirectly for an attack on the embassy in Russia in Damascus. And anti-Assad Islamic militants did the job, and these have support with funding and materials of the United States and the Mossad. These cat and mouse exchanges have not been by any means, as evidenced by the aerial Top Gun provocative flybys that have been occurring all year long in Syria as well as Eastern Europe. The U.S. has retracted the ceasefire agreement and suspended all operations and discussions with Russia pertaining to Syria. What is new is the level of the rhetoric has reached. The rhetoric is no longer rhetorical, but actually constitutes direct threats against Russia. Now, guys, I'm going to stop here for just a second. This is so important that you please listen to me on this. My mom was born in 1916 in Germany. 1916. She was born a German citizen. She only spoke German when she came to the United States in 1952. My mom told me what happened in Germany and how the rhetoric built and built and built and built with Hitler, always screaming on the radio, always carrying on, and pretty soon they're going into Poland, they're going into Czechoslovakia, they're doing all of these things and they're provoking war. That is exactly what we're doing right now. The Treaty of Westphalia said, and if we're still bound by that treaty, that if a country's in a civil war, that you are not allowed to enter that country as a occupying force or a foreign army unless the country who's in the civil war asks for your help, period. Syria has asked for Russia's help. They have told the United States they don't want them there, they don't want the UN troops there, they don't want ISIS there, they don't want anything there, but the U.S. has backed ISIS and basically is funding ISIS and basically supplying weapons to ISIS. When my mom came to this country in 1952, Germany was still in a wreck. In fact, I watched a movie last night on the Turner Channel. It was filmed in 1948, and basically it was showing all of the views of Berlin, which was still in complete rubble in 1948, 3 years after the war. It took decades for Germany to dig out of the carpet bombing that devastated the civilian population in Germany. They were living in blown out apartment buildings that had half doors, half windows for years on end with no heat and no water and no utilities. I mean, this is what happens with war. Now guys, this isn't a joke. This is what happens. The United States was the occupying force, forcing the Germans to do manual labor, trying to clean up all of the stuff, and of course the Germans wanted to build their country back. Then, in 1962, I'll never forget this, when the Cuban Missile Crisis occurred, we were sitting on our front porch on Highway 92. We had those cottages on the lake, and we also had that little bar that my mom owned. My dad was gone. It was 1962, and we were sitting on the front porch watching convoy after convoy after convoy after convoy going across Highway 92, which was the main track from MacDill Air Force Base, down Highway 27 to Miami and to basically South Florida because of the Cuban Missile Crisis. As we relocated equipment and thousands upon tens of thousands of troops in South Florida, and my mom sat on the front porch and she cried and cried and cried for days. This went on for days with these troops going by. My grandfather was there. He was speaking German. He said, "I can't believe it." And he said, and she said, they looked at each other. They said, "Das fängt wieder an," which means it's all starting again. These are the stinking European banking families that are covering their butts because of what they've done and the slavery they've sold us into. This is what they always do. Rothschild's own mother said, "If my son wants a war, we have a war. If he doesn't want a war, we have no war." This is who's running the United States. It's the international banking community, tied together through their Federal Reserve units, deciding to enslave the entire population, and they need a world war to bring into a one-world dictatorship under the United Nations. It'll be so bad that everybody will welcome the troops on the streets, which is what Kissinger said if a standing army invaded Los Angeles. He said that years and years ago. Now, guys, listen to me for a second. Then when 9/11 happened in 2001, my mom was still alive. My grandfather had already passed away in 1970. May he rest in peace. And I remember my mom was in the nursing home, and she saw those trade towers come down, and she started crying again. And she goes, "Teddy," she goes, "you have no idea what this means. This is exactly the Reichstag fire. This is 1933 Berlin all over again. This is going to precipitate another world war. It's all coming to that because of 9/11 and what's fixing to happen in the Middle East." And I'll never forget that. In Austin, she cried and cried and cried about this again. And I thought, well, you're right. I don't know what to say. And I was so diametrically opposed to 9/11 and our invasion of Iraq and all the stuff that Idiot W did. I was so opposed to all of it. But guys, let's listen to me for a second. These presidents, they don't make the decisions. They don't make the decisions. It's the World Bank, the Exchange Stability Fund, the Rothschild Banking Group, the Council of 300, it's the Vatican, it's the Bilderberger Group, it's the Bohemian Grove Boys, it's the world leaders, it's the billionaires, it's the ones they allow to become billionaires who are working together with the banking systems to enslave the entire population of the world. That's what this is all about. And now, 14, 15 years later, after 9/11, the words of my mother are correct again. Das fängt wieder an. It's going to start again. Guys, listen to me. This is a dangerous, dangerous game that we're playing. This is playing Russian roulette, basically, to coin a phrase, with a loaded country who has nuclear weapons. You know, there's going to be a point they're going to detonate an EMP in our atmosphere, hit us with one of their satellite-based weapons, or do something to us. The United States General Command has already said that the United States can absorb a first strike nuclear strike in our country and still have the armament to launch a volley against Russia. Now, guys, who in the hell thinks like this? Are they nuts? Excuse my language. What is wrong with these people? Who thinks it's okay to absorb a first strike nuclear volley into the United States? Hey, hello, hello, we live down here. Do you not understand what's going on? These people are a bunch of sicko Satanists. They want to destroy as many people as they possibly can to have another giant human sacrifice ceremony to control the attention field and the plasma that surrounds the planet. That's what all this is about. They're a bunch of sicko Satanists, and they don't care how many people they kill to do it. Who thinks like this, who has the right kind of brain power, that doesn't have, who's not a mental midget with the IQ scores of a rat? This is insane to me. They think this is okay. We can absorb a first strike nuclear volley from Russia.
In other words, if they send 100 ICBMs in our country and nail every major city in the United States, there'll be enough of our armament left in underground silos and space-based weapons to go ahead and issue a counterstrike on Russia. Well, so they're just going to blow a hole in the atmosphere like they thought they'd do back in 1960 and 62 with hydrogen bombs just to see what would happen. Oh, we want to see if we can vet the atmosphere out of the planet. Are you joking me? Well, we may destroy the world. These people are that sick. They think they can do whatever they want to whoever they want to do it to. Now they're playing nuclear roulette with a country that has thousands of nuclear missiles all over Europe, right next to NATO countries now in Europe. They're going to be putting them back in Cuba. They've got their bombers now coming close to the United States with full nuclear armament capability. All of this stuff happening right now while the United States sleeps and watches that slut Miley Cyrus on The Voice. Now, guys, listen to me. The TV's got to turn off. The TV has to turn off. You got to say, I'm not doing this. If I'm not learning something from something online, if I'm not learning something from the History Channel that's not slanted and a bunch of lies, if I'm not learning something, I need to be learning something. Time is short right now. We've got a Satanist running for the White House, a full-blown fourth-degree coven witch running for the White House, who can't stop lying. She can't, because her father is Lucifer, and he's the father of lies, and that's who he is. Now, listen to me for a second. Donald Trump's not perfect. Okay, we got that. Okay? He's not a coven witch. He's not a Luciferian. He likes women. Okay, my God, heaven forbid, he's not queer. He's not gay. He's not a transsexual. He doesn't want to use the girl's bathroom. Okay, he's a guy. He's a man. He said some things he should not have said on tape. Got it. We figured that out already. Paul Ryan is the one who released that tape, that sorry sack of you know what, and he basically is the one who is sabotaging Trump's campaign. Now, guys, it's enough of this stuff. And we've got to realize that if we allow it to continue and we don't believe the truth of what's going on, that we're going to find ourselves in the middle of a nuclear holocaust. I can only say to all of you guys, I don't have a ticket to an underground bunker. They didn't send me the ticket. Me and my family don't have the ability to go underground. We don't have that. My water table's 4 feet below the surface. I can't even put a bunker in if I wanted to where I live. Guys, we've got to stand in the aggregate. Make this show today go viral. Make it go viral. We've got to stand in the aggregate. I don't care that you're mad that Trump is a pig. I don't care. What difference does it make? At least, to coin Hillary's term, what difference does it make at this point? What difference does it make? He's a pig. He's not a Luciferian. He's a nationalist. He wants the United States back. He wants our jobs back. And oh my goodness, he wants to be friends with Putin and not start a nuclear war. Oh my God, what's wrong with the man? Guys, please, forgive me for yelling, forgive me for getting upset, but when I saw this stuff today, and I saw that Paul Ryan released this trash on Trump, I have had enough of the GOP. I wish every one of them would go eviscerate themselves who've turned into globalists and get out of office and put some real patriots back into the office, ones that who aren't Bubble Boy Rubio down here in Florida, all these whack bags like Ted Cruz. Are you kidding me? These guys are not Tea Party patriots. I don't know what these guys are, but they are not who I feel as though they should be, and they're not who they said they were when they ran for office, Austin. And that's my little speech for a second. I got to walk away for a second, Austin. I'll be right back.
Well, no, you're absolutely right, man. I got the article in the day that Daily Mail posted. Russia now is ordering all officials to fly home any relatives living abroad as tensions are mounting over the prospect of global war. Same thing you just talked about. Russia is ordering all its officials to fly home of any relatives that are living abroad. Politicians and high-ranking figures have said they've received a warning from President Putin to bring their loved ones home, according to local media. It comes after Putin canceled his planned visit to France amid a furious row over Moscow's role in the Syrian conflict just days after it emerged that Kremlin had moved nuclear-capable missiles to the Polish border. Former Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev has also warned that they're at a dangerous point due to rising tensions between Russia and the U.S., simply because the United States is trying to escalate a lot of this stuff here. The Russian political analyst quoted, this part of the package is to basically ensure if there is an event of a large war. Relations between Russia and the U.S. are at their lowest since the Cold War, since days after Washington pulled the plug on Syria talks and accused Russia of hacking. So, I mean, this is getting pretty serious now. They're telling everybody to pull their kids out of foreign schools and come back to Russia. Anybody that is basically living abroad right now needs to come back to Russia. That's not a good sign, guys. When Putin starts issuing edicts like that, that anybody, any Russian officials need to start bringing relatives home and they need to pull their kids out of foreign schools, that's not a good sign. That means they understand that this is escalating very rapidly and they plan on something happening very, very shortly, or they would not be issuing like this. So it's interesting, Dad, to see what's going on here. And I mean, and here's the thing that we have now, and I kind of thought about this morning after I read some articles. Regardless of what happens with this, as far as with this election, we have two separate scenarios that the globalists have already lined us up in. This is the fact. If we get Trump in office, which is pretty much the only option really have, we may prevent a global war, but you know as well as I do, they're immediately going to pull the plug on the economy. That's a fact. They're going to do it immediately. They will blame the entire economic collapse on Trump. They will say it was all the right-wingers that voted for Trump. It's our fault now. The economy's collapsed. So we'll have to rebuild as Americans, and we'll for once again have to come together as constitutionalists, as patriots, and build America back up where it needs to be. And hopefully, with Trump in office, we can have some type of cohesiveness together and not this completely and totally splitting apart that we have. On the second hand, if we vote for Clinton, which I'm not going to, if these idiots vote for Clinton and they happen to get her into office, we pretty much know that no uncertain terms whatsoever after what we heard the debate on Sunday, we will go to a global escalated conflict with Russia immediately. There's no question about it. So, guys, get ready because there's plan A and there's plan B. The globalists already have it set up. They control everything so much now, they know what's going to happen. At least with Trump, we know, like Dad said, we would have a nationalist in there. And by some means, we could probably get everything back running the way it could if we can get the banking cartel out of the United States, which would be very, very difficult. But it could happen. It could happen. Whereas a global escalated war with Russia, that's a lose-lose for everybody, in my opinion, Dad.
Well, there's nothing we can do at this point except for go to the side of what we know to do. And I can't say, you know, I can say to the side of righteousness, though Donald Trump's not a righteous person as far as I'm concerned, but he is a nationalist. But it doesn't matter at this point. He's so far superior to what's going on with Hillary. At this point, a Christian or any person in the United States has to realize that there's not an option. And I'm so tired of these candy butt lace panties Christian pastors who masquerade as conservatives, who are closet liberals, and a lot of them are queer, okay, running around in the pulpits telling their followers, because of what Trump said about grabbing the girl, you know, in that tape last week, to vote for Hillary. I don't even know how I can even justify that from any standard I know, how they can say that. But see, the guys, remember this. That's why these guys, so many of these preachers are pansies. I'm just telling you the truth. They're pansies. They're pansies, they're pansies, they're pansies. They're lacy panty preachers, okay? I don't want them in a trench with me with a gun, okay? I don't need that, okay? Now, some of them aren't like that. Some of them are telling the truth. Rodney Howard Brown, a lot of you guys don't like him. He's a friend of mine. I like Rodney Howard Brown. He did some stuff back in the 90s I didn't agree with. He doesn't do that anymore. He's a true patriot. He's all about guns and hunting and the Second Amendment rights. He's an American citizen. Okay? There are a lot of preachers out there that are telling the truth from the pulpit. But then you get these panty waist boys that basically want to do whatever the government tells them to do. They're part of the clergy response team. They've already signed off on being government spies, basically, like the former pope was down in Argentina. They've had plenty of practice with this. And guys, listen to me for a second. If you're a preacher right now and you're listening to this, please tell the people the truth. You don't have to tell them who to vote for if you're so scared of your 501(c) corporation. Tell them the truth. Read what Hillary believes, read what Donald believes, and let them make up their own mind and tell them they need to vote with the Bible. That's what our pastor has done. He's come against all of the globalists. He has not endorsed Trump, but he's saying he's voting for the party that represents his religious and spiritual beliefs. And of course, then he says, and I'm diametrically opposed to abortion. So even if you'll do that, now, if I was preaching from the pulpit and I was a mega church pastor and I had 40,000 people in attendance and I had a weekly talk show that was reaching millions of people, I would look at the people and I'd say, look, here's the deal.
vote for Trump. What's wrong with you? I mean, how can you vote for this? I just tell them straight out. Now, what would happen is I'd immediately have cancellations of almost all my shows all around the country. I'm just telling you, as far as any kind of secular broadcast that I'm buying. I would have a massive reduction in the amount of giving that I was given. All of these things would happen almost simultaneously. These guys who have these huge ministries. Now, I've got some friends who have some of these big ones, okay? Here's the thing. They're in a squirrel cage. Now, let me explain to you what that means. Some of these guys have 300, 400, 500, 600 employees in these huge mega churches. They've got a payroll that's staggeringly huge. They've got schools in these churches. And they've got to bring in X amount of hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars a week to pay the TV budget and the squirrel cage budget of all the recurring debt. Now, that's why these guys won't speak out. I've got another friend of mine who Trump asked him to speak at his church. He's got a large black community in his church, and he told Trump no. Now, guys, I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that. Because, guys, either we're going to stand for righteousness or we're not. Now, I'm not putting Donald Trump in that category of righteousness, but what I am putting in the category of righteousness is biblical precepts of no abortion, no murder. How about no nuclear war? How about that? I like that one, too. How about we do that one? The one who's at least telling us what we know to be the truth and not lying every time her mouth and lips move. So, guys, if you're a pastor and you're listening to me today, I ask you from the bottom of my heart, grow a set of testicles if you're not talking about the truth. Now, I'm sorry if that offends anybody. I'm using anatomy terms here. I'm not saying anything vulgar. That's just anatomy. Get some testosterone pumping through your veins and say, look, guys, here's what we're going to do. I'm telling you guys the truth. Even if you don't tell me who to vote for, read the party plank on both sides and say, here's what the Bible says about this. Here's what the Bible says about this. Here's what the Bible says about this. That way, you're not involving yourself in what to vote for, but you're telling them basically what the candidates believe. Because, guys, a lot of the people in your church, if you tell them the truth and you address this publicly from the pulpit, they're going to turn and not vote Democratic. They're going to do that. They're going to vote Republican. Now, don't get me wrong. Half the GOP people I can't stand. And the only reason I usually vote independent on every election, this is just not that election anymore. The libertarian candidate, he's pro-vaccine and anti-gun. I mean, I don't even know what to say about this guy. This guy's like a Looney Tune, right? So I can't vote for him. But the truth is, guys, this is not the election to vote independent. This is not it. Now, if we storm the polls and we absolutely landslide Trump, I don't think they can stop it because of all the polling data that's going to be coming out with all of the precincts going to have people in them. I don't think they'll try to do that. But I don't know. I can't promise you that because these guys are Looney Tunes. Remember, they don't think that you're awake and they don't care. But the masses are beginning to stir and they don't like that. The masses are beginning to stir. They're afraid the masses are going to go up to Washington and put a noose around all these traitors' necks. I guarantee you Hillary Clinton is scared to death because of what Donald Trump said. If I become president, you're going to jail. We're going to investigate you. Now, she knows that's true because she knows what she's done. Now, personally, do I think Trump will do that? No, I don't think he'll put Hillary in jail. And here's why. I think what's going to happen is if he gets into the White House by some miracle, by the grace of God, he gets into the White House and he sees the entire data of who's involved with Hillary, he will realize that he will completely destroy the entire upper-level management of the federal government if he makes Hillary come down. I guarantee you all the top people of the FBI, this would be a bloodletting of such. This would be a night of the long knives is what this would be. If Hillary goes to jail, she, I guarantee you, is taking everybody with her because I guarantee you she has dead man switches everywhere. If she goes, they're all going. And I guarantee you that's the story that Loretta Lynch got in that private plane meeting with Bill Clinton. It was like this. Here's how the story went. I'm speculating. Here's how the story went. Hey, Loretta, good seeing you, Loretta. Oh, hey, how are you doing? Yeah, you're looking pretty nice tonight. We got to talk about Hillary now, okay? Here's the problem now. Hillary needs to let go. What do you mean, Bill? She's guilty. No, man. She's okay, man. She's good. She's good. Loretta, we're going to put $100 million in your bank account in Switzerland tonight. We're going to wire the money in there. Tomorrow morning, you'll be dead. Your family will be dead. Everybody you ever met in your entire life will be dead. We'll even kill your dogs and cats. And we're going to kill your mom and daddy first. We're going to kill everybody. And we'll make sure you're still alive until we kill everybody so you'll see it all. So you can have everything you want in life and be Loretta Lynch, or you can be dead with a whole family dying. So you do what you want to do. I got to go now. Next day. Not guilty. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? Who in the world didn't see that? Are you joking me? I guarantee you that's how that conversation went. I guarantee if it wasn't like that, it was something similar to that. What do you think, Oz?
Oh, you're absolutely right. Bill Clinton impersonation was pretty funny, too. That had me, me laughing there for a second. But no, I guarantee you that's exactly how that went down. That's how a lot of this stuff goes down. And that's one of the only things I'm afraid of if something happens with Trump when he gets in office. That's exactly the way it's going to go down with him, too, if he starts prying into Clinton. Because before he even gets the opportunity to start investigating her, I can already tell you that's going to be a conversation that somebody has with him, especially one of these high-ranking boys that sits around there. But we'll see what happens. I don't know. I mean, it's interesting to see what's going on with all this. Also, too, news today, guys, because of so much backlash, because of so much online support, because of so many letters that were written in, literally tens of thousands of letters were written into the DEA now. They're withdrawing the proposal to ban Kratom now, and they're allowing everybody to write in even further until the very end of the year. And at that point, they still are going to have further time to basically investigate what's going on with it. Guys, they may go on and they may ban this plan in the future. And if they do that, they do that. But this was a huge step for the movement as far as the citizens' rights of this country. And here's why. Because they tried. They were playing chess with us. They wanted to see if, for the first time in history, if they could outright schedule one, a plant that grows out of the ground with absolutely zero recourse whatsoever, without zero evidence whatsoever that this stuff is toxic. And they wanted to see if the population of the United States was so asleep that they were going to sit back and accept it and just say, oh, well, the DEA said we're going to do it, then we got to listen to the DEA. It's a Schedule One felony now to have this stuff. We'll just deal with it. And they didn't. I mean, I was online. We're talking tens of thousands of letters, hard letters, paper letters. They got deluged. They literally had buckets of mail coming into the DEA every single day about Kratom because everybody was sick of this, with this tyrannical government completely out of control, saying that, oh, in 30 days we're going to schedule one a plant. You're automatically going to be a felon if we catch you with it. This is what they tried to do, and this is what the American population said. No, we don't want to deal with that. We're not going to let you guys do that right now, so much that the DEA completely withdrew their proposal right now. So I just wanted to kind of address that because it just happened today. And I thought it was pretty significant. Now, like I said, they still may pull this crap in the future, and they're still going to try and get it done because of the pharmaceutical interest that the DEA represents. Remember, the DEA is, in my opinion, completely and totally run by the pharmaceutical interest at the very top. Every single thing the DEA does, every drug dealer they bust, every drug deal they let in under the guise of we're letting drugs walk so we can find the bigger kingpin, every single thing they do has a pharmaceutical motive behind it, in my opinion. Now, I can't prove that on every single incident, but there's been multiple links to that on multiple cases with the drug running, with the heroin, and the CIA. So this is good today, guys, that this happened. I'm very glad this has happened. Not that I use Kratom, I'm a huge proponent of it. I know it has incredible benefits for people that are hooked on opiate pills that the pharmaceutical companies peddle all day long and getting people off of those pills. So that aspect I love about it. But the fact that the American population woke up and pitched a fit against the DEA and told them that they could not do this and nobody was going to put up with this, I'm very, very proud that America finally stood up for something, even though small and might only be for a short period of time. We actually did something for once, unlike so many other things that are going on right now, where we just capitulate and let things happen as they go because the government says they have to do it, Dad.
You're right, Austin. Now, I'm going to make one more point. We give the control to the politicians like the lying sack of crap that Hillary Clinton is, okay?
Yeah.
We give them power and authority. Made her senator in New York. She did nothing up there. Now she's running for the highest office in the world, okay? But remember, though, the politicians have then turned over to the military. The military's turned it over to the CIA, and the CIA are the drug runners. They're the ones who bring in $1 trillion of heroin out of Afghanistan every single year into the United States, making the third largest commodity in the world. Number one, oil. Number two, natural gas. Number three, heroin. Largest commodity in the world, oil, natural gas, and heroin. We have a product like Kratom that helps people that are addicted to heroin and opiates to naturally get off of their opiate addiction, including the heroin. They don't want that. The CIA, which is above the government now, remember, because they're running the black ops and being funded through the sale of heroin, they don't want people to get off heroin. They don't care how many of your children, your family. My wife's brother died last year from it. In fact, we're coming up on his year anniversary of his death of a heroin overdose. His name was Todd, 36 years old, died of a heroin overdose in Orlando over on Colonial Drive, also known as Heroin Highway. We have people from all over the country now contacting us and sending us emails. Hey, look, guys, you can't even believe how many people in my community are addicted to heroin and to opiates. Guys, there's millions of people in the United States addicted to opiates and heroin. Millions. That is not an overblown statement. That is factual. There are millions of people addicted to painkillers and opiates and heroin in the United States right now. Probably tens of millions. And that's why they're generating $1 trillion right now in heroin sales, not even including the opiate sales with all the drugs they're doing with the pharmaceutical corporations. Remember, all of this is for the black ops budget. All of this is for the Exchange Stability Fund. All of this runs through these black operations, through the CIA, through the Vatican, through these other member banks, all controlled by the Rothschild Mafia cartel. That's who's doing this. That's the ones that are doing this. And guys, you hear me say that every single day. I'm not backing off of it. And nobody else talks like this on talk radio. Nobody. Except for Dave and Doug do. That's it. The three of us. Joyce doesn't talk like this. Nobody talks about it. Alex doesn't talk about it. When's the last time you heard Alex? He talks about the international banking community. I'm telling you, it's the Rothschild boys. One of the main Rothschild banks is Citicorp. Now, let me tell you what's happened with Citicorp. WikiLeaks bombshell email shows Citicorp had major role in shaping and staffing Obama's first term. What the heck? The president election of 2008 was held on November the 4th with Barack Obama whining on a promise of delivering hope and change to the nation in the midst of the worst financial depression since the Great Depression. At that time, Citigroup was a financial basket case. It had already received $25 billion from the government bailout program known as Troubled Asset with TARP program in October. It was secretly receiving hundreds of billions of dollars more each month in below market rate loans from the Federal Reserve. Remember, this is a Federal Reserve owned bank. This is one of the primary banks. According to the Freedom of Information Act request from the media, the Citigroup was 19 days from more hemorrhaging, requiring additional government infusion of an additional $20 billion and asset guarantees of more than $300 billion. Citigroup stock was at $13.99, a 63% drop in just 12 months. Finally, it dropped down it was down to 99 cents. Citigroup had been serially charged by its regulators for abusing its customers and targeting poor and financially uneducated. But key executives of the bank had played major roles in raising funds for Barack Obama campaign, so it was richly rewarded for that. According to the emails released by WikiLeaks yesterday, which came from the hack of the email account of John Podesta, co-chairman of the Obama's 2008 transition team. And you know what, guys? I praise WikiLeaks. I praise WikiLeaks for giving us freedom to know what these whack bags are doing. Yep. I don't care. If they weren't doing all this illegal crap, they wouldn't care what their email said. That's what they say to us.
Yeah.
John Podesta, co-chair of Obama's 2008 transition team, we learned that despite the obvious fact that Citigroup was both corrupt and derelict, Barack Obama gave executives of the bank an outsized role in shaping and staffing his first term. Attached is the latest version of the Ages Review teams, and it says all of these people, including Rubin, all of these people who were brought up in Trans-Pacific Partnership, all of it, Mark Gitelstein, all of it, all of these people who were working with this were involved from these Citigroup people, which is what? Owned by Goldman Sachs, owned by the Rothschild banking cartel. All of this stuff was done by Obama to basically say, thank you to the World Bank, the Rothschild boys, for putting him in office. And it nauseates me. You can read the entire article here from Pam Martins, and it was written October the 11th, so you guys can pick it up. And it says, WikiLeaks bombshell email shows Citigroup had a major role in shaping and staffing Obama's first term, which means the Rothschilds are running the planet. Like it or not, it's just who they are and what they do, because we've given them the ability to do that because of the Federal Reserve Act. Go ahead, Austin. What do you think of that?
Well, yeah, that's definitely on point. This is also, too, I saw the Trump campaign ad that he put out this week. A lot of people haven't seen it yet because YouTube is blocking it, and a lot of other places now are starting to block it. They're actually blocking his ad now, guys. YouTube has unlisted it, and they added a warning to the new Donald Trump ad, the one that says dangerous, posted Tuesday by the Team Trump account that focuses on the national security and warns that Hillary Clinton does not have the stamina or judgment to keep America safe. In the ad, he shows the video of her almost face planting before she's caught by two of her Secret Service members before they throw her into the van like a big slab of meat. That video was unbelievably hard for her as far as people seeing that. Well, Trump ad put all these together and basically said she doesn't have the stamina, she doesn't have the health, and she's unfit to run America. Well, now YouTube has completely blocked it now. They've even put the restricted mode firewall on it, and when everybody tries to view it, it keeps popping up. Restricted mode hides videos that may contain inappropriate content flagged by users or other signals. They will not let the ad get played on YouTube videos now because they say that it's got inappropriate material on it when there's not a single thing on that ad. I watched it twice the other day when it came out on Monday. There's not a single thing on that ad that is inappropriate whatsoever at all. They're even trying to run it on television spots now. But it just goes to show you that the media is doing everything they can to block and play defense for Hillary, so nobody sees the truth, what's really going on with her, and that's what's going on now, Dad. That's how crazy it's gotten with YouTube and Google and the media on TV. Everything is controlled now. Everything is.
Well, it's all owned by the bankers. Remember, at the other night of the Trump at the debate, everybody after the debate's walking around with those little pocket Instamatic cameras that we used to have back in the 80s with no flashes. Okay.
Yep.
Nobody was taking pictures with any cell phones because all of the cell phones were seized. The audience wasn't allowed to have cell phones. Nobody could have any cell phones in the building. And why is that? Because the Secret Service knew that if everybody started flashing her with light bulbs with flashes, she'd have a seizure. See, that's one of the triggering events of an epileptic seizure or some type of brain freeze that she's having with Parkinson's are bright flashing lights in your eyes. Your brain shorts out. You just short out. We talked about that in detail a few weeks ago. So they're giving everybody little cameras that we had back in the 80s. It had nothing to do with C4 being planted in the cell phones. It had nothing to do with any of that stuff. What it was is they wanted to make sure that nobody was flashing her when she was talking because they knew it would cause a complete and total neural disruption and it would trigger a seizure or some type of event on the stage. And if she did that, if she actually vented out on the stage, everybody would know what a nutbag she was, and she'd be completely and totally unelectable. Here's another article, Supplements in Peril Update. The FDA must be worried. They've extended the comment period for supplement guidance. We must use the opportunity to flood the agents with more comments. Again, they're trying to take our supplements away. Back in August, last 2 months ago, the FDA issued this long-delayed guidance detailing how supplement industry can bring new products to the market. The guidance deals with how and whether the supplement industry is allowed to innovate and create new supplements, also called new dietary ingredients. There are many, many problems with this guidance, as you can read more about it online. If the current guidance becomes final with no modifications, consumers will very likely lose access to thousands of supplements. And in some cases, the ingredients have been available. Supplements could be handed over to the pharmaceutical industry. Guys, you've got to contact the Food and Drug Administration with this, and you have to do it immediately. It's so important because, guys, listen to me. It's like with our Hagman blood sugar protocol for healthy blood sugar. You know, when Doug first called me up, gosh, a couple of years ago now, and his blood sugar was over 500. I said, Doug, look, if you take the right supplements and you eat the right foods, you do the right exercise, you get rid of the foods that you shouldn't be eating, and you get rid of all these adrenal stimulants like drinking coffee all day long, you can bring your blood sugar down naturally, but you got to take the supplements, you got to eat right, and you got to basically change your lifestyle. And he was able to bring his blood sugar normally. Dave Hodges, same thing, blood sugar close to 500, brought it down normally. Guys, that's just common. There are all kinds of natural techniques and protocols that you can follow from an adult onset diabetic standpoint to bring your blood sugar down. But a lot of these involve herbs and turmeric and a lot of other types of products. Now, if they tell us that we can't sell those products anymore, and those are the products that people are using to maintain their blood sugar, the only alternative they'll have at that point is to go pharmaceutical and start taking the other drugs, which, again, is owned by the pharmaceutical corporations. Or they'll take turmeric, which you can buy for, what, $20 or $30 a bottle from us, big old bottle of it, and they'll turn it into a drug, and that'll be $400 or $500 a bottle because they know they've got you by the throat. There's nothing you can do to not use the product. It's kind of like this. If you're a juvenile diabetic, if you get on juvenile on diabetes and you're like 10, 12 years old and you become diabetic and your pancreas shuts down, the islets of Langerhans stop producing insulin, you can no longer rejuvenate it, and you have to take insulin every day. Your demand curve for that insulin is inelastic. In other words, if you don't have the insulin, you die, period. That's all it is. Okay? They know that. They want everything to be inelastic demand curve, so it doesn't matter how much it costs, you have to pay for it or you die. That's how it works with pharmaceuticals. That's what they want. It's like with the EpiPens that came out a few months ago, and the price went through the roof, and now they're finally bringing the prices back down. It's like the product that was being used for toxoplasmosis for cat brain parasites. I mean, you know, that it went from like $12 a pill to $800 a pill because there was an inelastic demand curve. You had to have that particular product to treat that. Now, what's crazy about all of this is this. If we have people that are containing and maintaining their blood sugar and their blood pressure by using certain supplements that keep them healthy, and they no longer have access to those supplements at that point in time, if those supplements go to the FDA for regulation and get resold through pharmaceutical corporations, it'll be the same thing all over again. You have massive, massive, massive price hikes. That's what they do. That's what they want to do. They want to force you to buy a product that has an 8,000 or 9,000% margin for the manufacturer so they can continue to basically suck the blood out of the population and be parasites on us. That's what these guys are. They want to keep you eternally addicted like an adult or like a juvenile diabetic who, if they don't get their drug, they're going to die. That's the best thing. That's why, according to the Wall Street, one of the Wall Street Journal, it was Financial Times a couple of years ago, and I quoted one of my CD sets. It said that their goal for diabetic medications and for cancer is this, to make cancer a long-term illness that requires medication for years, if not decades, to increase pharmaceutical corporation profits because they keep you on that drug forever. That's the goal. So guys, you say, well, you know, taking supplements is expensive. It costs me $25 a month to take a multiple vitamin from Health Masters. Okay, compared to what? Compared to a new pair of shoes? Going out and having dinner one time? How about compared to a tank of gas? How about going to a car wash for $10 or $12? How about anything? $25, really? It's not expensive. That's what you always have to ask yourself, compared to what? How about you just cut out a couple sodas a week? That'll take care of the $25. How about you cut a couple of those Starbucks things out? 5 cups of Starbucks coffee a month will buy you the multiple vitamins. I mean, it's easy enough to do this if you want to do it. And that's what we always tell people. You've got to make your health a priority. You've got to make your health one of your most important assets. It's absolutely critical. Now, let me cover number 9 and 10, because we've got so much more news today. I pontificated too long on the first break. Number 9 to stay away from are coffee products. Use our purple sticks. Coffee massively increases the risks of breast cancer because it contains a methyl xanthine. Okay? This increases the risks of fibroid tumor formation in breast tissue. You do not want coffee in your body if you've got breast cancer in your family or you've ever had an incident of breast cancer. If you drink coffee and you're trying to do natural treatment protocols or any kind of treatment protocol to treat cancer, it literally makes it impossible to recover from the breast cancer, according to many different researchers. So don't put coffee in your body. Just 3 cups of coffee a day in a man can increase your risks of heart disease by up to 50%, according to the British Medical Journal Lancet. I get up every morning and have a purple stick. We've got them back in stock now. We've got plenty of inventory. I mix it in a glass of water with about 1,000 milligrams of powdered vitamin C. I drink it first thing in the morning in distilled water. As soon as I get up this morning, I was up at 4:45 a.m. I'm so energized for this silly election. I'm having a hard time sleeping tonight because I realize what this country is headed for if we don't get Donald Trump in. So I have my purple stick every single morning, and it really keeps me booted up. It really does a great job on me personally. I love it. It does not elevate cortisol. Coffee elevates cortisol. Cortisol is a fat storage hormone. It makes you fat. It makes you have belly fat. If you just cut coffee out alone, you'll probably lose 5 pounds the first 2 months and not even dieting. Plus, if you mix a bunch of sugar and a bunch of creamer and everything else, your little Frappuccino may have 800 calories in it from Starbucks, and who knows what kind of chemicals are in it. So don't drink coffee. Now, if you occasionally want to have a cup of coffee, occasionally, you said, well, I want a cup of coffee once a month. I don't care. Who cares? Don't care. It doesn't do much to your adrenal glands. But what it does, when you elevate cortisol when you're over the age of 40, and you elevate cortisol, it takes 3 to 4 days for the cortisol to come down. That's why if you get stressed out or yelling or whatever, like for instance, my little rant that I got to do the first part of this show where I had to go calm myself back down for 5 minutes, that'll elevate my cortisol for 2 days. That's just what happens because I'm 61 years old. It'll take 2 days for my cortisol to come back to normal. Same thing, I drink a cup of coffee, it takes 2 days. That's why it messes up your sleep patterns. Because remember, your body releases cortisol in the morning because it's an agitating hormone to wake you up in the morning to get up and eat because your blood sugar is lower, your protein levels are low, and you need more fuel. That's what you do when you wake up. You elevate cortisol. That's why I woke up at 4:45 this morning, because my cortisol is up because of this election thing that's going on right now, because I'm so energized from all of this stuff. But the cortisol is not helpful. Long-term-wise, it shortens your telomeres. It makes you age much more quickly. It makes you gain body fat, increases your risk of breast cancer. It'll get you wrinkled up. It'll do all of those things. I mean, notice people who drink a lot of coffee, how quickly they age. It's because of the adrenal fatigue on their system. Now, we do have an adrenal support product that if you've been taking coffee for a long time, you need to get on our adrenal support, you need to get on our turmeric. Plus, coffee causes massive inflammation because it forces the body into a more acidic range, causing inflammation. A lot of people have inflammation and arthritic conditions because they drink too much coffee. When I was in graduate school at Florida State, I used to drink 18 cups of coffee a day. Got into a habit of it because I worked for a company called Quality Coffee Service, and I think they're out of business now. I think they got sold. But I worked for that company for several years in graduate school, and what ended up happening, I got used to drinking a lot of coffee. At the age of 27, 2 years later, I came down with heart disease and almost died from it. I mean, that was crazy what happened to me in college when I was 27 years old. Now, what's also interesting is number 10 on the list. Number 10 is alcohol. Alcohol is never good for anybody. It's just not good. It's a neurotoxin. Now, if you had an occasional glass of beer, an occasional Bailey's, whatever, I don't care. The Bible says don't drink. It says don't get, doesn't say don't drink. It says don't get drunk. If you had some good glass of wine every once in a while. But guys, just 1 ounce of alcohol a day decreases the body's ability to produce a compound called lipase, which burns fat instead of stores fat. And so if you're drinking a glass of beer a day, or a glass of wine a day, or a shot of liquor every single day, you're going to massively reduce your ability to burn body fat. That's why so many guys who do that have beer guts, and they become fat. Alcohol makes you fat, period. That's just what it does if you don't have the proper metabolism. Some people can drink like a fish and never gain any weight. Basically, their body just metabolizes the alcohol better. I know that I don't do that. I watch so many people in my mom's bar get beer guts, have health problems, come down with cancer, come down with heart disease. And the studies that showed that red wine reduces the risks of heart disease also showed that resveratrol from the grape does the same thing without the bad side effects of the alcohol. Now remember, guys, it's so important to understand this. I've never heard anybody say that my life was a wreck and then I started drinking and everything got a lot better. I've seen so many lives ruined in my mom's bar. That's why I've never been a big boozer. I've probably gotten drunk 2 or 3 times my entire life when I was a kid, you know, because it was legal to drink at 18, which it should have never have been legal to drink at 18. And I basically ended up in a situation where I got in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people and drank a little bit too much. I did it like 3 times, felt absolutely horrible as an athlete, couldn't train worth a hoot the next day, didn't feel good, puked in the morning. Yeah, 3 times is enough of that for me. I had enough of that. That makes no sense to me at all. Now, I think back on it, I think, what was wrong with you? I don't want to be in an altered state. A lot of people drink alcohol because they're doing it to self-medicate. They're unhappy with their lives, they're unhappy with their spouse, they're unhappy with their jobs, they're unhappy with their children, they're unhappy with the stresses of lives. They can't give it to God, so they do it in a bottle. They drink it up in a bottle, they crawl down into a bottle. That's what they do. I've seen it over and over and over again. Alcohol increases the risks of pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, cirrhosis of the liver, alcoholism, osteoporosis, and breast cancer, particularly breast cancer. It's one of the worst things you can put into your body in any concentration. So, guys, take resveratrol if you want to get the results. We have that at the office. If you want to take the results of reducing the risks of heart disease, even the studies that said that alcohol would reduce the risk of heart disease by drinking red wine said if you do not drink, don't start, because the side effects of the alcohol outweigh the benefits of the alcohol. In other words, it causes too many other disease conditions to justify drinking to reduce the risk of heart disease. So guys, please don't drink. It's so important. Now, again, if you want to have a beer and you can control it, you don't have a problem with alcohol, I don't care. Every once in a while, I'll go to Germany. My cousins are over there. They always want me to have a beer with them. I say, okay, I'll have one beer. I'm done. I got to drive. I'm not drinking after one beer. I'm not driving after one beer. I'm going to sit here for an hour and a half after I have one beer. I'm done. That's all I do. The same thing. You know, when they come over here, they may want a beer, but I don't have alcohol in my house at all. I won't serve it at my house. I won't do that. If we're in a restaurant or something like that, most of the time I don't drink any alcohol here in our country because it's just I don't like alcohol. I don't care for it. So, but I will do that as a courteous thing to one of my relatives who are Germans who drink like fish. Most of those guys over there, it's ridiculous. And so that's what I'm telling you guys. If occasionally you have a glass of wine, occasional glass of beer, and I'm talking like once or twice a year, not once or twice a week. Once or twice a year, not once or twice a week. I have no problem with it. It's not a big deal from a health standpoint. But guys, listen to me.
don't get into the habit of drinking it every single day. 10% of the population is genetically predisposed to become alcoholic if you start drinking every single day. And that's another thing that people do, Austin. They don't realize what's going to happen to them. They start drinking and drinking and drinking and craving the alcohol, and pretty soon they become drunks. And I've seen it happen hundreds of times in my mom's bar, over and over and over. They ruined their lives. And that's my little pontification on alcohol right now. What do you think about all that, boy?
No, that was excellent. Also, too, I want to add in back to the coffee aspect. Guys, if you're calling in and you're trying to figure out how to get your blood pressure lower, stop drinking coffee. That's one of the first things I tell everybody. Almost every time I work with somebody that's got significantly difficult blood pressure that they're trying to control, they're always drinking caffeine or coffee. It's usually always coffee products. A, caffeine increases blood pressure. B, caffeine's a diuretic, so it's pulling the water out of your system. So it's dehydrating you while it's increasing your blood pressure. That's not good if you're already having issues with blood pressure. Most of the time, almost every time, people that are in fairly decent shape, if they come off the caffeine, they throw in something like our super potent E and our HGH stimulate, they can naturally get their blood pressure into a very, very healthy range naturally without having to go to the pharmaceutical aspect of it. It's very easy to do. But guys, if you're wondering why your BP is elevated all the time and you're drinking 1, 2, 3, 4 cups of coffee a day or more, that's a significant reason why you're having issues with it. And the same thing with alcohol. Remember, alcohol is also a diuretic. It's going to pull water out of you. You have to have water in your body. Your body is 60 to 70% water at any given time. Without water, your blood gets too thick. When it becomes too thick, your heart has a very difficult time pumping it. So your blood pressure goes up. It's not difficult to figure out. So that's why first thing I always tell people, every single time they call me and they say, I'm having an issue with blood pressure, I say, what's your body weight? Okay, you got normal body weight? How much water are you drinking? Oh, well, I'm drinking, you know, such and such about this, you know, decent amount. They give me ounces for their weight. Okay, are you drinking any coffee? Yeah, I'm drinking coffee. Boom, right there. Those are the three questions, your weight, your water, and your caffeine usage. That right there will determine your blood pressure if you're having issues with it, guys. So I just wanted to throw that out there because that question gets emailed to me a lot, and it's a very, very easy thing to fix. But a lot of people don't realize when they're drinking coffee every day, it is going to massively spike blood pressure. Almost every single person that I've worked with has done that. Same thing with Dad. When we talk to him, almost every time.
Well, no, and that's the craziest thing is that the purple sticks don't do that. They don't elevate blood pressure at all. I'll go into Dr. Robbins' office every couple of months and get a chelation shot, and I'll sit there and I'll have a purple stick in me, and they'll check my blood pressure, and it's like 110 over 65. Heart rate's like 65. And, you know, they're always like, wow, how old are you? I'm 61. Well, your blood pressure's like perfect. Well, I don't take meds for that. And the purple sticks don't elevate. Now, if I go in there, drink me a couple cups of coffee and go in there, my heart's just a thumping in my chest. Oh, yeah, my blood pressure's up. Now, think about this, too. Austin said something very clear, and I want to make sure we do this because then I want to change subject because we're almost out of the show's almost over, guys. So, sorry we haven't covered a lot of news today. I'm more or less on my little kicking parade today. But what happened is it's like this. Here's how you have to visualize it. You have a pump, and the pump's having to pump molasses or it's pumping water. How much harder is it to pump the molasses than it is to pump the water if you have the same volume of each? That's the difference between pumping blood that's sludgy and thick versus blood that's like water. Your body is designed for blood to be thin. It's super important to be thin. I mean, when you were going into the Marine Corps a few years ago, Austin, and you decided not to, this was 10 years ago, 9 years ago, 8 years ago, whatever it was. Remember, the Sergeant Cook said to us when you were going into the officer corps, he said that they've done all types of deprivation studies in soldiers, and they found that you can cut their sleep. You can do all kinds of stuff, but you can never cut water. You can't cut water. You got to be drinking half your body weight in fluid ounces per day in distilled water. So if you weigh 200 pounds, 100 ounces a day. Distilled water is a solvent. It is the only solvent your body can drink without poisoning itself, okay? It's a solvent. It helps to dilute the body's fluids. It makes the blood thinner. It brings your salt levels down in your blood. It helps the blood to flow better. It's super important. That's why distilled water is absolutely critical. Now, Austin and I are going to hopefully fly down to Venezuela in the next few weeks because I've got some points that I can burn and basically not cost me any money. We want to stay there for like one day because I want to see what's going on in Venezuela. I got to make sure we can still get in down there. But here's an article from the Daily Online. It says, video smuggled out of a jail at San Juan de los Moros in the central Guarata region of Venezuela, so it's emaciated inmates struggling to survive who are starving to death because of the economic collapse in Venezuela. With a country in the grip of a crippling economic crisis, starving prisoners can be seen standing in line and begging for help from the outside world. Guys, this is exactly what happened in the concentration camps, and it's going to be exactly what happens in the FEMA camps if we go to World War III. You think that they're going to feed you and feed you and feed you and all the supply lines are broken down? They can't do it because they won't have the food. Please listen to me. Store up some food. Store up some water. Hunker down where you are. It's too late to go buy another place. We are literally weeks away with this election of finding out what's going to happen. Because remember, even if Donald Trump wins this election, Austin, the gay Kenyan is still going to be in there until January. And he can still go to war because Trump won't take office until January. So we don't know what's going to happen, but the next 3 months, October, November, December, the first part of January, we've got to realize that we've got to be prepared right now. We've got to stay really frosty with our preparation, with our water, with our food, with our supplements, with everything. It's just that big of a deal. So if you spend a couple hundred extra dollars on some freeze-dried food from Health Masters right now and you don't use it, you can use it after the end of when Trump takes office. It doesn't make any difference. You can donate it to a local food bank. It doesn't make any difference. Guys, please think about where we are right now as a country. We've got the sabers of war rattling. My mom, if she was still alive today, may she rest in peace, she'd be going nuts right now with everything we're hearing in the media. So guys, I love you. I really do. I appreciate you. Thanks for putting up with me in Austin. We do the best we can. You know, we just love doing the show with you guys and just giving you guys insight from our perspective. Thank you for buying at least your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for supporting the show. If you can't support the show by buying $25 worth of vitamins a month, thanks for praying for us. And I pray that God blesses all of you, all of my listeners. I pray that God blesses you, that His hand stays upon you, that He gives you peace, that He gives you prosperity. I pray that for everybody who listens to the show every single day because I want that for you. And guys, I'm going to go ahead and let Austin close. I love you. I appreciate you. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.
Yep, we appreciate everything, guys. And definitely, like Dad said, I mean, right now, more than ever, it's time to wake your friends up, wake your family up, keep everybody as far as informed of what's going on. And that's why I tell people so many times, if you need to, go to the store, have some canned food on hand, have some jugs of water on hand, have stuff on backup. The same thing with the food buckets that we have on them. We do free shipping on them. There, we ship them out immediately. We can get them to you really fast if you need one or two on tap. As many as you need, we usually try and keep them on hand for all of our customers. Also, too, GHI Cleanse, product I talked about yesterday, incredibly good product. Go check it out on our website. It's won as product of the week now, so it'll be on sale. It's over 10% off. If you guys need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.